letting my inner Noah feed me with the truth. That leads to the next line, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. As long as I practice the art of meditation, as long as I know how to keep my inner peace, then my spiritual consciousness will fill my cup with goodness and mercy, which is protection in all things. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will remain in my spiritual consciousness, always receiving more oil, more light, more truth, more spirit, more understanding, more goodness, more love, more wisdom, more intelligence, more of everything. And always finding how wonderful life really is when you live in the spirit of your own being. And that life is forever and ever and ever. And so now we have finished the 23rd Psalm, which began with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we know the spiritual meaning of it. I want you to know that I do want to answer the questions that you may have from time to time. For instance, Jim, I recall a question of yours. What's the difference between spiritual consciousness and healing consciousness? Well, it's like you take a package of lifesavers. There's a pink one and a white one and a blue one and a green one. They're all lifesavers, but one is one color and one is another. The heading, the category, lifesavers, applies to all of them. Now, that's what spiritual consciousness, that's the whole thing. Now, there are different kinds of spiritual consciousness, and one of those is the healing consciousness. You can have the healing consciousness, but you don't have the whole spiritual consciousness. Now, if you have the whole spiritual consciousness, you'll also have the healing consciousness. Just like if you have a pack of lifesavers, you'll have all of the colors of the individual lifesavers. But if you only had one lifesaver, a pink one, you wouldn't have all of the rest. So get the spiritual consciousness. If you get it, you will have the healing consciousness. And it will work this way. When you have the spiritual consciousness, you are looking at the world with the knowledge that all this world consists of is concepts which are things of matter. Physical concepts. And you are looking at them with the knowledge that there is something higher and deeper behind them called spirit, which is invisible. You have a spiritual consciousness which tells you that behind matter is the invisible spirit. Now, when you live in that consciousness and have a spiritual consciousness, something will come along like some kind of a cold or a condition that's considered to be sickness. And just knowing that all is spirit will give you a knowledge that will make you heal faster than ordinary people. Someday you might find that you'll use that knowledge to help heal other people too. Now, because you have a spiritual consciousness, you have the healing consciousness. And because you have a spiritual consciousness, you'll have the love consciousness, the beauty consciousness, the music consciousness, the harmony consciousness, the wisdom consciousness. These are all different kinds of spiritual consciousness. They're all different lifesavers in the one big package of lifesavers. You see the difference? Now, there are many, many, many wonderful things inside the spiritual consciousness. So you just work on the overall, the spiritual consciousness, which means the consciousness that spirit, invisible, is the substance behind everything, and it's always perfect because it's always God. And then everything connected with the spiritual consciousness, such as the love consciousness, the music consciousness, the healing consciousness, the wholeness consciousness, the harmony, all of this will become the fullness of your consciousness. Your cup will be overflowing, running over with every quality in the spiritual consciousness. See that? Jill and Jim, I have your questions, and I want you to know that I appreciate them. They are very intelligent questions, and you're really making me dig down deep to come up with some good answers for you. Now, Jill, you've asked about the soul. And in your question, if I recall it correctly, you said you understand most of the things about the soul, but if your soul is infinite, where is your daddy's soul? Where is Jim's soul? Where is your mother's soul? And where is everybody else's soul? How could there be any others if your soul is infinite? And so you see, in a way, you've almost come to the point of answering your own question. Now let's look at it this way. Suppose I say to you, Jim, point to your house. And now Jim points to the house. And now I say to your daddy, now you point to the house, Will. And so you point to the same house. And now I say to your mommy, you point to your house. And your mommy points to the very same house that Jim did and your daddy did. And now I say to you, Jill, where do you live? And you say, I live in the same house they live in. Well, there you are. There's four people. How could they all have the same house? Well, why couldn't they? They all live in one house. Now, why couldn't four people all have the same soul? And if the soul is infinite, why couldn't everybody on earth have the same soul, so that we all live in one infinite house called the soul? Do you see that is exactly what the truth is? The one infinite soul is your soul, Jill, but it's also mine. And it's also your daddy's. Oh, and it's everybody's. Everywhere you go, the good people and the bad people, they don't know it, but there's only one soul, and we all live in it. Now, you see, I can't use your soul. I can't even use my own soul. And you can't use it. But we can both listen to it and let it direct us, so that if you live in your soul and listen to it, it will direct you. And when I'm listening, I'll be listening to my soul. But it's really the same soul, and so the one soul will direct you and will direct me, and because we're under the direction of our one soul, we'll always be friends. We could never be enemies that way. And so when everybody learns that they have one soul, they'll all be friends. They'll really love one another because the soul will be directing them. And that's why in the 23rd Psalm, the voice of God speaking through the man who wrote the psalm said, your shepherd will restore your soul. Now, most people have not had this happen to them. They still do not know they are living in an infinite soul. but you're learning it, and I think you have caught the idea. And so your soul is restored. Now let's bring up a few questions about that you didn't ask, because I think you should think about them. For instance, later on, most people say, well, I'm not going to live in the same soul with everybody else. I'll just be like everybody else. Now, I want you to know that that wouldn't be true at all. For instance, just take your mind, and now think of a house. And you have a pretty house. You can fix up any kind of a house you want in your mind. Now think of an automobile. And now think of, a little baby boy, just born. Maybe Jim when he was just born. But you see, you thought of three ideas, a house, an automobile, and a baby boy. And all of those three ideas came out of one mind. And yet the ideas are all different. They're not the same, are they? So if we all came out of one soul, couldn't we be all different like the ideas that come out of the mind? We don't have to be all identical just because we come out of one soul. In fact, there are not two people who come out of the real one soul who could ever be the same, because just as the soul is infinite, it produces an individuality in each of us, so that we all are just enough different to give something to each other that the other one doesn't possess. Oh, this makes me want to go right through this 23rd Psalm, because right after this, it shows, because your soul has been restored, you can now be in the path of righteousness. I'm awfully tempted to explain that right now, but I think what I'd better do is go over to Jim's question, because I think now you can get the idea of the soul. It's really now divine consciousness functioning through you, so that you will learn how to be one with the one soul of everybody. And that's going to be a wonderful secret later, because everybody who does this while you're doing it will be in harmony with you. Everyone who lives out of the one soul is in harmony with each other. Somebody could live in Alaska and really learning how to live out of the one soul, and you could be living here in California, and you'd both be in harmony. And if that person in Alaska had something that you needed, somehow or other, the one soul would tell that person, or it would take you all the way to Alaska, because the one soul sees everything. You see, then we're living in God's house. Now, Jim, you have a very interesting question. It's all about concepts, and how can you lean on a bed if a bed is a concept? Well, I'm going to answer that in a very strange way. First, I'm going to ask you, Jim, what is a concept? And by way of answer, let's see what our old dictionary here has to say. Concept. We'll find that here, and then we'll see what we're going to say about the same thing that the dictionary talks about. Concept. Well, all it says is an abstract general notion or idea. An abstract general notion or idea. Well, I guess we have to look up the word abstract, don't we? All right, let's do that. Abstract. Abstract. Well, abstract, it says, is considered apart from the concrete, from the material. In other words, an idea is abstract. It is not physical. It is not material. And a concept or idea is not a physical thing, but rather an abstract idea, which is apart from the physical. And so when we look at it closely, it means that a concept is a belief or a mental impression that you have about something. Now you're seeing the bed and you're touching the bed, and you say it's pretty solid. In fact, if you dropped it on the floor, it would make a great big noise. And you say, how could a concept do that? But the dictionary says that a concept is not material. And you are learning in spiritual living that all material is concept or abstract or belief or impression. And now we have to clarify, how can this be? How can Jim wrap his knuckles on a piece of wood and think that the wood is abstract and not concrete? Well, let's take an in-between step and look at science. Now, science says that if you were able to look at the wood or the metal that makes up your bed, and if you could see it with X-ray eyes instead of human eyes, you would see that it isn't steel or wood or any other kind of metal at all. It's just little itsy-bitsy, tiny, 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 invisible to your human eyes, particles, little bits of light, atoms, and they're moving fast like a propeller. So fast, oh, millions of turns in 1 second. So that, well, they're faster than a bullet, and you can't see a bullet when it's moving through the air. And so you do not see these little moving atoms that are moving around in a fast circle. And they move so fast that they create an impression in your mind. And the impression that these atoms create in your mind is that of something that is in front of you, which is hard and solid. But that's because you can't really see inside that substance to see the light atoms that are moving around fast. If you could, you would see that the wood of your bed or the metal or the springs of the mattress are all made of invisible light moving so fast that it appears to be solid. But that's your eyes. Now you hit it with your hand and it hurts you. But again, if you could see the invisible atoms moving through that wood, you would realize that all you're hitting are invisible atoms. Why does it hurt? Ah, that's the secret. Because your hand is also a concept. It's made of invisible atoms. But the atoms of your hand are made of different atoms than the atoms of the wood of the bed. and the atoms of our body, all throughout our body, we have different kinds of atoms, different kinds of minerals. The atoms of your teeth are different than the atoms of your eyes. And the atoms of your bone are different than the atoms of your bloodstream. And all of these different atoms are small, invisible particles of light moving so fast that you do not know they are there. And you call them my ear, my eye, my nose, my head, my mouth, my body. But it's only your impression about the invisible atoms. And that's why it's called a conceptual body. Now you have a conceptual body, and all it can know is concepts. Because you have conceptual eyes and conceptual hands, conceptual ears. And so when you look at anything, you form a concept about it with your eyes. And when you touch something, you form a concept about it with your fingers. Actually, it isn't your fingers that forms the concept or your eyes, but your fingers tell your brain what they have felt, and your eyes tell your brain what they have seen, and your ears tell your brain what they have heard. And these are the concepts that you send to the brain. And now when you touch the bed, your conceptual hand is touching the conceptual wood. And you're forming a concept about it, and your brain forms that concept in you. You remember when you said the boy fell on the pavement? And you said it's only a concept falling on a concept. Well, that's the same thing here. Is Jim a concept forming a concept about something else called a bed? But Jim is really divine consciousness. The Jim who touched the bed isn't consciousness. That Jim is conceptual Jim. And so you don't want to be fooled by the things around you. Know that they are concepts. They may be solid concepts or liquid concepts or gas concepts or fire concepts, but they're all concepts of the human mind. And yes, you can lean on them, but later you'll find they're not very dependable, too. There are better things to lean on. And so later, in your study of this very same 23rd Psalm, you remember the staff that the shepherd leans upon. Well, when spiritual living comes in, when we get away from people's talk into spirit talk, the staff that we lean on is not going to be made of wood, because that's not very dependable. Some of them break. We're going to lean on a staff made of truth, and that isn't wood or steel or iron, but you'll depend on it, and it will do always what you want it to do. It's reliable, but we'll get to that later. Now, I'm not too sure that I've given you the full answer on this. There's a lot more to say, but I think if you dwell upon this a little bit, you'll see that anything you think of with the human mind is a belief or a concept of that mind. And you know something? Your mind can only form a concept of the bed because the bed is too big to come into your head to enter your brain. How could you get a bed inside of your head? So what happens is that your brain sends out your eye and your ear and your fingers and your kneecaps and all of your body to get an idea about that bed, and all of these ideas come into the brain where it forms the idea that it calls bed. Now, behind all of this, behind the little light atoms that are moving fast that make up the appearance of the bed, behind the light atoms that are moving fast that make up the appearance of Jim's conceptual body, there is another substance. That's the real Jim. And it's the real bed. But you can't sleep on that bed, and the real Jim doesn't even go to sleep. The real Jim is pure, invisible spirit. And that's why the real Jim is always living and can never die and never gets older and never gets sick and is always perfect, because the real Jim is the spirit or divine consciousness. And that's not a concept. That's the real. Well, you think upon these things, and then when you think about them a little bit, close your eyes and meditate upon them, until something inside begins to say to you, Jim, here's the way things are. And then you listen carefully to this voice or intelligence inside you, and it will teach you from inside. Jill might do the same about the soul. And then as you get ideas, you begin to find that because you're asking questions, your own soul is going to give you the answers. This is how it works. So you keep asking questions, and if you send them to me on a tape, I will dwell in meditation upon them, and then I will tell you what I have heard inside, and that way we'll keep comparing ideas and we'll help each other. So long for now.